Today is the first Sunday in Advent. Now, we don't normally look at the church calendar. We don't in this church, I don't think very much anyway. We do for Advent, for Lent, for Easter, for Pentecost, but not all the other ones in between. But I think Advent is important because it's a special time of the year and it's the four Sundays leading up to Christmas. And these days of Advent, if you don't know, are intended as a time of Christmas preparation. Not the world's preparation. Not the going and taking the trolleys and stacking them full of food that you're not ever going to eat. Or buying great big fancy expensive presents that are going to make your credit cards be being paid for the next 6 months. Not that kind of preparation. Not stocking the cupboards. It's a preparation for the greatest gift that we've all been given. And that greatest gift is?
Jesus.
Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Jesus. Yes, Jesus. A priceless gift which will not get broken, which will never run out of batteries, and which will be with us forever. I've asked Don to come and read us a passage from Luke's Gospel. It's a bit difficult, isn't it, up here?
Why is it?
There is, and boxes.
Passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, from verse 26. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Thanks be to God for his word.
Thank you, Dan. This reading, year after year, marks the beginning of what has universally become known as the Christmas story. But we know, don't we, it's not simply a story. It's a true account of a real event where God came, God spoke, peace on earth, and God is with us. God spoke then, and he still speaks today. And the God who came still comes. Emmanuel, God with us. Isn't that fantastic? That, if nothing else, is a time and a reason to rejoice. He came as a helpless baby who would grow up to be a man, to be the saviour of the world. And the time of Advent is for us to look at the first coming of Jesus, what it means for the whole of creation, and particularly what it means for you and for me. It's a time of reflection. Do we know Jesus? Has Jesus changed our lives? Do we follow him? Where do we fail him? And how strong or weak is our relationship with him? There are a lot more questions that we can ask ourselves, I'm sure. And Advent provides a special time of opportunity to look at them again. When we think of that passage in Jesus' mother, Mary, and what God called her to do, can you imagine her singing that song, "Yes and Amen, I will do anything you want to do," and the answer to that has to be yes. We sing it. Do we mean yes when we sing it, as Diana prayed? We can only imagine the gigantic change in her life. But what really stands out for me in that passage is Mary's acceptance of the sovereignty of God and how she is willing to serve him regardless of the cost to herself and her life. Can we say the same thing? As we think about this baby, are we willing to completely trust in God as Mary did? Even if we know that to do so will possibly bring us into difficult situations, which may make no sense to us and may cause us to be hurt. Do we ever stop to think why God, who is everything and has everything, should have put it all aside to come to earth in this humble way just to help humanity? Surely it wasn't just to look after what he had created. So why did he do it? I think we can find the answer in 1 John 4. Where it says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment because in this world we are like him. God came and died on the cross because of his great love for us. And this season is all about loving others, just like he did for us. It's a time when all people, whether they know Jesus or not, they all talk about the season. And that gives Christians a fantastic opportunity to talk to other people about its real meaning, especially those who do not yet know that great love of Jesus. We as Christians need to step outside the box, even if it makes us uncomfortable, because our discomfort can never ever come anywhere near to comparing to that of Mary. But it will show our love for Jesus in a very rewarding way. As we look at our lives throughout Advent, let us not miss this great opportunity to tell of God's redeeming love through Jesus. You know, sometimes we're a bit wary of talking to other people about Jesus and about God's love, and we wonder how they're going to react, what they're going to think about us. But this is the perfect opportunity because everybody accepts about Christmas. So let's not miss that opportunity. As we reflect on our lives and what Jesus means to us, let's not stop, though, at the stable. Let's look at the bigger picture. So, What is the bigger picture? I think the bigger picture is not only that Jesus came, but that Jesus is coming back again. And we need to be prepared. Jesus tells us himself many, many places in the Gospels that he's coming back. In Matthew 24, and it was also prophesied in the Old Testament in Daniel chapter 7. And Jesus himself says about his return in Mark's Gospel, no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. Therefore, keep watch. We need to be prepared. It could happen before I finish speaking. It could happen tomorrow. It can happen any time. Are we ready? The big question is, how can humanity, with all its faults, prepare for this glorious coming event? And our Lord Jesus sometimes asks us to do something difficult. I think the answer to this question is very simple. But then I'm a very simple person, really. I believe the answer is in the commandment that Jesus gave us, that we love one another. We love our family and our friends, or at least I hope we do, for the main part. And we show that love by caring, spending time with them, sharing, and in the case of our children, trying to guide them in the right direction, doing without, so that we can give to them. As you know, one way I show my love for people is by giving hugs. And a lot of people I know, it makes some people very uncomfortable. But I just want to say thank you, because nobody ever has grumbled or refused to have one of my hugs. So I just want to say thank you again. So how does God do this for us? He loves us and he tries to guide us in the right paths by the power of his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit lives in every believer. He himself tries to prepare us by what he says in his word, the Bible. And he tells us numerous times, just as the prophets in the Old Testament tried numerous times to guide the Israelites and the Jews. But we do know for sure that Jesus will return, because he said he would. Now, today, many people say they'll do things, you know, I'll give you a ring, or I'll call, or we'll catch up sometime, or we'll go for a coffee, and it just never happens. Just like the workmen we have who were doing our conservatory, who were going to ring us back 10 days ago, and despite all our phone calls, haven't returned our calls. But aren't we blessed that Jesus is not like that at all? What he says he will do, he does, because he is completely trustworthy. But having said that, we do still need to be ready when he comes back. We don't want to be standing in front of Jesus and his throne and him turn to us and say, I do not know you. How devastating would that be? How horrifying? How sad? So how can we prepare for this event in the future? Well, I think the answer to that one is to live in the here and the now. It's to deepen our relationship with Jesus, to let go of everything we're clinging on to, which is not of him. Now, this isn't easy, I know, because our emotions get in the way and they get involved and things can get very complicated and we can get hurt. We can easily lose our focus. Jesus has shown us in minute detail how to be prepared. And if ever we are in doubt, we just need to look at his word. But as we do that, we do need to be absolutely honest with ourselves and also with him. Christmas season is a time when families and friends make a special effort to get together. And Jesus' family is just the same as any other family or gathering of people when it comes to behaviour, relationships and emotions. We can stop speaking to people as we've just heard. Or we can avoid them because they rub us up the wrong way. Or they don't agree with our opinions and we grumble about things. We might even talk about other people. It's so easy to criticise rather than to change what's in here and our own attitude, or to make that criticism constructive, which can in fact be very helpful and encouraging. Reminds me of that saying in the Bible about taking the speck out of someone else's eye and you can't see the big log in your own. But are we willing to listen? If it means we do need to change. How many times have I heard people say, well, this is who I am, so you like it or you lump it. But when you're with Jesus and Jesus lives in you, Jesus can do anything. And we all, every one of us, have to change in some way because none of us are perfect. But sometimes we close our hearts and our minds to what Jesus tells us to do because either we don't like it or we think it's not important. But what we remember about Jesus' words were they were almost always words of love and encouragement to others. Can we do the same? If things don't go the way we think they do or should, people don't respond the way we think they should. I mean, that's often the case, isn't it? And it can cause disagreement, and it can cause breaks in relationships. But in the bigger picture, is that really important? Surely it's God who decides. Life is his plan, not ours. And this is where we need that infinite trust in him. We have to trust him and we have to let go. Because if things go wrong, he is the one who will put things right. Because he wants us to live together in love, in hope, and in peace. Through his grace and his mercy in Jesus Christ. So can we be like him, I wonder? Can we turn our grumbles and criticism and work together as one? We are, after all, the body of Christ. We are one body. And although we're all different and we have different gifts, we need each other for God's church to be effective. We need to work together for the good of all. Obviously, we won't always agree with each other. But if we do take our relationship with Jesus seriously, then we will do what we have to do. And his Holy Spirit will help us to succeed. reminds me of that song, "Bind us together, Lord, bind us together in cords that cannot be broken." If we can't live as Christians who know Jesus and love Jesus and have Jesus living in us, like in our lives, what chance is there for people who do not yet believe? If we cannot show unity and love, how can we expect other people to believe that it's possible? Two things are important in helping us to be prepared: loving God and loving one another. Love means the needs of putting others before our own and putting the needs of the Lord before everything else. His great desire, I believe, is that we are united to each other. We are bonded by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus saves us not just from sin, but he can save us from ourselves. If you want a good definition of love, look at 1 Corinthians 13. Judgment will come. There's no doubt that judgment will come, just as there's no doubt that Jesus will come back or that he came in the first place. And we will be called to account for the way we have lived our lives, not for what the good things that we have done. There might be many, and they are important. But how good our relationship is with Jesus, and how we have shown his love to other people. This is a message full of promise and challenge. But if we succeed, we will be on the side of victory with Jesus, and he will not be saying to us, "I do not know who you are." Have we offered forgiveness in the way that God forgives us? Have we used his gifts wisely? Have we helped the poor and the weak and the hungry? Have we controlled our tongues? Have we encouraged other people? Is our relationship with Jesus so real and so important and meaningful that we spend a lot of time reading his word and listening to him in prayer? I believe a successful church is a praying church, a united church. Is that what we are here in West Auckland? If not, why not? Advent is the time to take a long, hard, honest look at ourselves. If Jesus really means anything to us, now is the time to take the opportunity to think about our lives and what we need his help to change. Not making excuses, but seeing what we need to change in here. Not how they need to change, how we need to change. Let's just have a couple of quiet moments where we can sit and think about this, and perhaps even listen. Maybe God will say something to somebody. But let's please use Advent to keep us united. If we do not be united, if we do not show that love to each other, then Christ's church, here where we are now, as well as everywhere else, will never move forward, will never grow. We need to really look at ourselves and put Jesus first. We thank you, Lord, that you came. We thank you that you are with us. And we thank you that you will come again. And Lord, we know we fail you in so many ways. We might have the best intentions, but we still fail. Help us to love as you love us. Help us to show others what Jesus really means in life. What the life with you and in you can be. What they're missing. Help us first to know that for ourselves, so that we can go to others with confidence. Help us to be honest as we look at ourselves. There are things in us that only you know about. Things that need to be changed and put right. So we just ask you, Holy Spirit, change our ways where they need changing. Help us to be willing and open to whatever changes you say need to be done. That your church can grow and that more and more people will come to know the love of Jesus in their lives. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wound, to labour and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing that we are doing your will. Amen.